Thank you, Jim. What a lovely song. I love that message. I found that really, really moving. Well, it's almost Valentine's Day. Shall we talk about love? I did a little research about Valentine's Day and I found out about Saint Valentine, and you may know more than I know, but what I read was that Saint Valentine lived in the 3rd century in Rome. And he tried to convert Emperor Claudius II and was unsuccessful, and so was killed quite brutally. And so I don't know exactly how that ties into love, but it happened on February 14th. So we honor Saint Valentine on this day, and somehow it's rolled into love. So what is love? It's a question that I think every person has to answer for themselves. And I think it's the most important question, but it's only the most important question if we put our answer into practice, if we express love. It doesn't do us any good at all to simply think about it. We have to do something about it. And if you look at the world's religious traditions, love is the deepest realization of all the mature spiritual practices. They all point us toward love. I find it quite revealing that we have a paucity of language for love, we who speak English in this Western culture. Greek, for instance, has lots of words that we translate all into one word, love. So they have words for erotic love and platonic love and friendship between equals and self-love, hospitality, love of God, and on. But for us, it's all been boiled down to one word, love. And there's also a connotation to the word love in our language, and that connotation is that it has something to do with longing or grasping or desiring. So I can say, for instance, I love hamburgers. Or I can say, I love going to the Grand Canyon. Or I can say, I love my wife, but there's a little bit of I love her especially if she does what I like that she does. It's a little harder if I say I love my wife when she's doing something I don't enjoy. So imagine for a minute if we had as many words for love as we Northwesterners have for rain. Right? We have lots of words for rain because we know rain well. We know drizzle, and we know showers, and we know mist, and we know thunderstorms, and we know sunbreaks, and we know downpours. So we have words for what we know. But there's a deeper love that's not captured by words. So we can't learn that much about it just by thinking about the words. When we look at ourselves and our culture, I think we're love-starved. We're love-starved. And that shows up in the ways that we've turned on each other. We are making enemies of everyone. It's one of the reasons I loved the song that we just heard, because it was about being humble and kind to everyone. What a great message. So as we make enemies of each other, our circle of love continues to grow smaller and smaller and smaller until it grows so small that we even exclude ourselves from that circle of love. How else can we account for the way that we harm ourselves by ingesting the hateful political discourse that's happening? We do this as a culture day after day after day. What else but lack of self-love answers the way we are destroying our planet, the very home that we are part of? We're destroying. We know that it's harmful, but we continue to drink these poisons, and I think it's partly because it's a failure to love ourselves. There's a story that I've heard about the Dalai Lama. When he first started teaching Westerners, what he encountered were people telling him about their self-loathing. And he turned to his translator and he said, I don't understand what's being said here. And the translator continued to tell him what they were saying. And he thought, well, this isn't even possible. How can one loathe themselves? Because in Tibet, this is not even an idea that has any traction at all. But in the West, he found it widespread. This failure to love ourselves is widespread. But again, there's a deeper love that's not captured by the shrinking of our hearts. A deeper love. And that's what I want to point us toward, that deeper sense of love. We often think of love as personal, like our other emotions. You know, like, I love you. It's personal from me to you. And most of our emotions are like that. If we think about, say, anger, it's personal to me. I have my anger towards this or that. If I have jealousy, it's personal. I have jealousy. If I have pride or any of the other emotions that we have, and we have so many emotions. There's a list that's circulating around on the internet of 500 or so emotions that human beings feel. And all of them feel personal. But love, true love, deep love, is not personal. True love is universal, and it belongs to us all. It's the core of our being. And unlike that list of 500 emotions that are personal, when I have them, eventually I exhaust them. I can only stay angry for so long. But with this deep love, it is inexhaustible. It's a deep, deep well that we can tap into and spread throughout the world without ever worrying that it's going to run out. So my early spiritual life was in the Quaker church, Quaker meetings. And Quakers say that there's that of God in everyone. That of God in everyone. So I wonder, do you actually believe that there's that of God in everyone? Really? Do you really believe that? Even in the people that you think are incorrigible and hopeless, unreachable. Now, is this your personal experience, to see that of God in everyone? Starting with you, is there that of God in you? Is there? You know, and if so, if we really touch that, if there's that of God in each of us, and you believe that God is love, which is the message we've received when we talk about the divine in terms of God, then the divine in you must love the divine in others, because there's no separation. There's no separation. If this deep well of divine love exists in you, and it's the gift of every living creature to have this, then how could we not love everything and everyone unconditionally? Because it's us. It's us. In my tradition and in Zen, we bow a lot. And the bowing, what it means is we are bringing our hands together and we're saying, together with all beings, the divine love in me recognizes the divine love in you. We use the term Buddha nature. That's just words. It could be the Christ consciousness in me recognizes the Christ consciousness in you, or the goodness in me recognizes the goodness in you. This is the deep love that I'm pointing us towards. It's much more than just you and me. It's all things. So it's fun to look at how different traditions point us toward this. And I'm turning to Christianity today because Christianity does such a beautiful job of conceiving this deep, this unspeakable deep truth as a relationship, a loving relationship. So in Christianity, we are commanded to live this way, but beyond that, it's the most lovely way to live. Even if no one tells us we should, it turns out to be the most lovely way to live your life, to be in touch with this deep love. So imagine spending your everyday moments in touch with this deep love and being freed from the need to judge anyone, to condemn anyone, to control anyone or compete with them. They are you. You are free to love them. So imagine living by the biblical description of love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 8. And I want to read that. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. What a beautiful description. And I notice in that description, there is nothing personal in that. I'm not being asked to reach down deep into myself and overlook something, to somehow be so strong that I can love even the most unlovable. No, it's asking me something much more fundamental and deep than that. Just simply let go of all these other things. Let go of the judgment. Let go of the self-seeking. Let go of the anger. Let go of keeping a record of rights and wrongs, and simply allow that divine love in me to recognize the divine love in you. That's enough. We just have to find a way to lay down our pettiness so the divine love can flow out of us. And I'm no Christian theologian, of course, but I wonder sometimes if the meaning of Jesus dying on the cross is exactly this, that Jesus shed his personal so he could fully embody this divine love. So when I live from this divine love instead of from my selfishness, it brings me so much joy. And it brings joy to you. And it brings joy to us. When I live my life from divine love instead of selfishness, it gives my life meaning. When I live my life from divine love instead of selfishness, it makes my life worth living. I'm not tangled up in battles all the time. It frees me from the prison of my personal concerns. What liberation that is. So the question arises in me then, if this is such a great thing, how do we do this? How do we touch this sort of divine love? Well, it's a lifetime practice. So we start wherever we are. And I think given the fact that we have such an epidemic of not being able to love ourselves or love others, it begins with touching love in us. You know, I don't think it's realistic to hope that we could suddenly be a loving person out there if we don't know it deeply in here. I like to think of this practice as we create this awareness of this divine love in us, and then our only job is to widen that circle as it comes to us to widen it. Not forcing ourselves, but just making that circle bigger and bigger as our heart grows. But starting here, right here. So imagine touching that divine love for yourself and how it might impact some of the things that we really struggle with in our culture. Like, for instance, we have an unlimited set of expectations about ourselves generally. But we have no way to measure whether we're doing well enough, whether we're good enough. So, you know, we're always wondering how much is enough that I should be doing? How good do I have to be? When can I allow myself just to be myself? So when we practice touching into this divine love, it begins to answer those questions. We begin to see that we are already good enough. That the fact that we can touch this divine love means we don't have to measure anything anymore, because there's no me versus you to measure against. So this divine love in us has this bottomless quality that is so encouraging in our day-to-day life, that when I think I have nothing more to give, I always know I can turn to this well of bottomless love, and there is more. And I can give more not because I got stronger and I put on my big boy pants, but because it simply is a power that I can tap into that says, yes, yes. So when I start to feel myself contracting and blaming, this love comes forth, I can tap into it, and it lets me know that the only way forward is for me to listen to you and understand you rather than try and correct you. That's this divine love, understanding. So I have a practice that I do, and I'd like to introduce it to you if that's okay. And you might be able to do this as well. It's the way that I tap into this sense of this divine love on a regular basis. And so this practice is about developing what we call in Zen Buddhism, loving kindness. Loving kindness. It's the same thing I'm talking about with divine love. So there's four phrases that we use. And the phrases are this: may I be filled with loving kindness. May I be filled with loving kindness. That's the first phrase. The second phrase: may I be well. The third: may I be peaceful and at ease. And the fourth: may I be happy. So imagine being able to offer that to yourself. May I be filled with loving kindness. May I be well. May I be peaceful and at ease. May I be happy. Now, traditionally, we do this for I. And when that is settled, then we say, may you be filled with loving kindness. May you be well. May you be peaceful and at ease. May you be happy. And then when you has settled in with us, we wish that for we, may we be filled. And finally, may all be filled. No boundaries. May all. But you know, I often I often don't suggest, I suggest that people don't try and do anything but may I be filled with loving kindness. And wait until you know from that, that spontaneously the urge to say, may you be filled, just comes right out of you. Not as a duty, not as something that a good person should do. No. Just wait until that I is so deeply rooted in you that articulating, may you be filled, just comes right out. And it's a joy. And then after you do that for some time, then wait for may we be filled to come out. And finally, may all be, we'll all be filled with loving kindness. So maybe we could settle into a meditation here. And I could simply guide us in this and do what I do inside myself with all of us. So you can just rest with me and borrow this from me. See if it feels right to make it your own. So let's return to our bodies. The miraculous gift of this body that we have. And in that body, we can notice our breath coming in and out. With each in-breath, we receive the love given off by the cedars, the maples, the grasses, the algae, who've all breathed out the oxygen that we're breathing in. And with the out-breath, we can breathe out the carbon dioxide that those very same gift givers receive from us. May I be filled with loving kindness. Dwelling with that phrase, may I be filled with loving kindness. I invite you to feel that in your body. Feel that intention that you be filled with love. And feel what love feels like in your body. Within me, it's a dropping of all muscle tension. An almost ecstatic glow in my chest. In you, it may be different. May I be filled with loving kindness. May I be well. What does it feel like to be in this body, this tremendous gift? Knowing that some of our body is working to our liking and some of our body is not working to our liking. May I be well with my body just as it is. Abilities, pains, warts and all. May I be well. May I be peaceful and at ease. When I feel peace, I feel an absence of resistance. And when I feel at ease, I feel no striving for anything. May I be peaceful and at ease. May I be content with things as they are, now. May I be happy. May I feel the half-smile arise on my face when I'm filled with love, when I'm well, when I'm peaceful and at ease. Happiness is present. May I be filled with loving kindness. May I be well. May I be peaceful and at ease. May I be happy. May I be filled with loving kindness. May I be well, may I be peaceful and at ease. May I be This is how we touch divine love. By letting go of all that blocks us from that deep well, from that of God in each of us, until we touch it so deeply that our only concern becomes, how do I spread this in the world most effectively? So I'll invite the bell to end our meditation, and please just listen to the sound of the bell with your whole heart. Thank you all so much for giving me your kind-hearted attention and allowing me to be here with you to offer these words.